Well, the date was April 10th through 12th, 2020. Do you remember it? I don't care where you were, the place is irrelevant. You may recall that that was Easter weekend. What were you doing? For me, it may have been the absolute quietest Easter I can remember. COVID-19 was spreading, and for the first time in recorded history of the church, the doors of churches across the globe were closed. Yes, there were some that were open, but by and large, the doors were closed. We did our best to celebrate as households, yet something was missing, in my humble opinion, and that something was the public gathering of the body of Christ. And don't misunderstand me. What we did was required. It kept us safe. But it was still a very, very quiet Easter back in April. It was a quiet Easter weekend. I remember preaching that weekend on Thursday, talking about perhaps having an Easter egg hunt. But we didn't. I knew that we wouldn't. It was missed. Not sure why it bothers me so much. It's in the past, isn't it? We've moved forward. We're able to gather. But perhaps in some ways, we had a greater feeling of loss. A greater feeling of loss that may help us understand what happened that first morning, going into it. Something that we haven't been able to really understand and compare to in years. When it's all said and done, the COVID virus has done a complete number on our society. I believe it will take a significant amount of time before the entirety of the social, mental, and spiritual effects of this virus are even able to be tallied. Today is Resurrection Sunday, not literally, or is it? We'll find out. But this is where our passage has brought us today, as we have been walking through Mark, as we have been learning from the gospel that he wrote for us. This morning, we are at the resurrection. And as such, I feel that we should once again do this little thing that we do on Easter morning. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen. He is risen indeed. As much as it has been difficult for us over these past 3 months dealing with this virus, if you are able to, I would ask that you would attempt to put yourself into the sandals of the followers of Jesus this morning. It has been an emotional roller coaster for them. Over the past several weeks and months that we have been discussing it, but in literal time for the past several weeks, Jesus has done some amazing things. When you think about it, he raised Lazarus from the dead. He was anointed with a very costly perfume. He had been the focus of a parade in which the crowds publicly declared him to be the Messiah. They were shouting, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Jesus has been teaching in the temple each and every day, and every group of religious leaders has attempted to trap him, and they had no success. He has celebrated Passover with his disciples and even washed their feet, instituted a brand new covenant, one that we will once again partake of at some point when we're able to. Shortly after that, he had a late-night prayer meeting. That prayer meeting turned into a bit of a kerfuffle. There was a miracle performed. An ear was cut off and placed back on. But then he was bound and taken away. Peter, after hastily assaulting this servant, he follows along at a distance. Pretends he doesn't know Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. And while all of that was going on, he stood trial before six groups who brought trumped up witnesses who just couldn't agree. He was declared innocent, and yet in the end, due to the potential riot that was impending, which was being spurned on by the religious leaders and chief priests, Jesus was flogged, but that wasn't good enough, so they had him crucified. Jesus died at 3 in the afternoon. He was buried by 6 p.m. To say the least, it had been a difficult time for those who loved Jesus, who followed Jesus, the disciples and the faithful. Women were aware of his death on the cross. Some of them had witnessed it. No doubt their minds were filled with unanswered questions. What will we do now? Where do we go from here? Is there any hope left? The one that they had believed and trusted in, he was gone. He had died. They saw it with their own eyes. They saw where his body lay. The aspirations that they had just a few days earlier are now distant memories and lost in the incredible haze of what has just happened. As doubt and fear replace the joy and the hope that they once felt. This was definitely a difficult time for those who walked with the Lord. Although they were unaware of it, hope was not lost. Jesus had died on the cross. They knew where he had been buried. They knew it was in a borrowed tomb. Joseph and Nicodemus had come forward as new followers of Jesus. There is hope. There was much to be sad about as they had yet to make that miraculous discovery of his glorious resurrection. And while it appeared that Jesus had suffered a great defeat, the women would soon discover that they would discover his resurrection. They would discover a great triumph, perhaps the greatest triumph of all. A morning that began with dread and fear and uncertainty would quickly become a morning of discovery, of joy, of assurance. Assurance in a risen Christ, a Messiah, the one they loved, Jesus. And as we look at this final chapter, or at least the first part of it, the gospel, of Mark's gospel message, we're able to journey back to the borrowed tomb where Jesus has been buried. As we examine the detailed records in the text, I want us to consider this morning the glory in the resurrection. At first, their day begins very early in the morning. And it's a morning of uncertainty. And we must remember the context of this fateful morning. The events that passed over the few days of Jesus' life followed. His followers were just numb. They would have been incredibly confused. Their faith had been tested and they were searching for answers. Things had not happened as they thought they would have. So with that in mind, let's read our passage from Mark 16 this morning. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might anoint Jesus' body. Very early on that first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. On that very first Easter morning, we need to keep in mind that these were the women who had enjoyed a close relationship with Christ. They believed that he was the promised Messiah. They had heard the words of Jesus himself and witnessed the miracles. Their lives had been transformed by this man, and yet he had been taken away, crucified, buried. It seemed as if their hopes and their dreams had been buried with him. The one whom they placed their trust in. He'd been taken away, seemingly much, much too early before his time. At least according to them. He had not fulfilled all they had hoped he would. The Romans were still in power. Their lives were now in jeopardy for their faith. They have to do all they could, and all of their feelings they're just gone. And yet, on this morning, they've come to do all that they can do. Anoint his body. Provide a means of honor and respect for the one that they so dearly loved. And we see a picture of utter devastation and intense pain in their hearts. I know this is not typically your Easter Sunday morning. It's not mine. But Mark mentions that the Sabbath was over. And this refers to the Jewish Sabbath being Saturday. The Jews marked their days at sundown rather than at midnight. So the Sabbath ended technically Saturday evening around 6 p.m. But Mark's statement, this statement that it was over, does so much more than convey the time of Jesus' resurrection. And most of us miss the understanding of this phrase that the Sabbath was over. It's a theological marker indicating that the Sabbath itself is now obsolete because a new era of redemptive history has begun. Think of it like the Passover. The Passover ended when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. We now celebrate the Lord's table and communion. It's a new memorial feast of commemorating his death. The Sabbath was replaced by the Lord's Day to commemorate his resurrection every first day of the week. Because the Sabbath is over. Praise God. So this morning truly is Resurrection Sunday. In verse 2, we see the passion of these women. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. They rose very early in the morning, and they came to the tomb. Now, when you really think about this, they came to anoint the body. I don't believe they had all the spices and all the things that they needed just lying around. Well, you couldn't go to the market on the Sabbath because the markets were closed. They didn't have, as we call it, Sunday shopping. They didn't have Sabbath shopping. Yet somehow they managed to gather all that was needed to go and anoint the body very early in the morning. To me, that says they were filled with passion for him. They loved him dearly. They were committed to doing all they could to ensure a proper burial for Jesus. This was a dear loved one who had been abused and rejected. And I have no doubt that they were concerned for their safety. Jerusalem is in an uproar concerning Christ. They must have seen the crowds that cried, "Crucify." They must have known the words of disdain spoken by the crowds, by the leaders, as he hung on that cross. They must have known how much they were hated for taking a criminal who had no right to be buried and actually placing him in a tomb. The passion of these women, it challenges me. Partially because I am not a morning person. I am far more to be awake at the early morning from the other end, not at the wake up and be ready for the day. It challenges me. Does it challenge you? Because we live in a day where most have no desire to honor the Lord. We live in a take it or leave it type of society. Society is filled with a passionate people, but they are just not passionate for Christ. Too many fail to consider the great sacrifice that Jesus made on behalf of humanity. And as we are reminded of our Lord's sacrifice and resurrection, may our passion for him be renewed in a newfound commitment to be born within our hearts, that we might go from here ready to serve and love Christ. And verse 3 goes on to state, and they asked each other, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb?" See, the women, they made their way to the tomb. They were concerned with their physical limitations. They understood. There's only a few of us. This stone is perhaps a couple of tons. Can we move it? Will we be able to? They weren't looking for a resurrected Lord, but focused on a stone that stood in their way. They were consumed with what? The apparent problem at hand. And nobody can blame them. They could see the death, but not the deliverance. It may be easy for us to look back and wonder how their hearts could have been filled with unbelief. They had walked with him. They had heard Jesus speak of the events of the cross and his promise and rising again. He said it multiple times in the Gospel of Mark. They must have heard it. How could they not have been expecting it? But they weren't. They were discouraged. They were doubtful. But before we get too critical, we should consider our own lives. How many times have we experienced the mighty hand of God? How many times have we found the Lord to be faithful to us? We're trying to celebrate the hope of our faith. And yet, there may also be some burdens, some cares to this life that are dragging us down and standing in front of us like that tomb and the stone that we think is there. We must place our confidence in the risen Lord. He came forth out of the grave. He moved the rock. There is nothing that happens in our lives that He isn't aware of, that He doesn't have control over. And without the Lord, this whole COVID-19 stuff, it would have overwhelmed many of us, myself included. But I know that He has the power to conquer the grave. And if He has the power to conquer the grave, I would say I would spit on the virus, but that's not allowed. Right? This virus is nothing to Him. Surely He has the power to handle the difficulties in our lives, including this virus. We have not met to focus on the death and despair, but on life and hope and eternity. We have not read a fable that has been handed down throughout the years. We have read the account of the Lord's resurrection, and the resurrection should generate hope and expectations for better things to come. Amen? You see, the women may have come with doubts and despair, but their despair was soon turned into a message of victory. As they came to the tomb, the very thing that they had worried so much about was removed. And as they came into the tomb, rather than seeing a cold, dead body, there was an angel who delivered a message of victory. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robes sitting on the right side. And he said, and they were alarmed. "Do not be alarmed," he said. Evidence of the resurrection begins with the simple yet conclusive fact that Jesus' tomb is empty. Roman soldiers knew it was empty, as did the Jewish religious leaders, the women, Peter, John, and others like Joseph of Arimathea. Incredibly, Jesus' enemies never disputed the empty tomb. They never, ever questioned whether the tomb was empty. Instead, they tried to explain it away, bribing soldiers to lie and say that his disciples had stolen the body. You read that in Matthew 28, 12 to 15. The women, they made their way with hearts of fear. They were unsure of what the future would hold and bring. And as they came to the tomb, the angel spoke the words of comfort, "Do not be alarmed." Be translated, "Do not be afraid." He's aware of their condition. They came fearful, but the Lord sent words of comfort. Their focus had been on the Lord's death, but victory had literally dawned on them that morning. The Lord was no longer in the tomb. He is alive. He is alive. He is the risen Savior. And I am so glad for the comfort and the peace that Christ brings to our lives. He has the power to comfort the brokenhearted, the lonely, and the afraid. Life may not be all that you hoped it would be, but there may be a situation that is beyond your control. But take courage. Hope is not lost. Jesus is there to comfort your troubled heart. Trust in Him this morning. "Do not be alarmed," said the angel. "You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid Him?" The angel was well aware of why they came. They came to anoint His body. They came for their Savior. But He wanted them to know their search had not been in vain. Their faith in Christ was not in vain. Jesus has died, but he didn't stay dead. Hope had not died in the tomb. Our faith can't, our faith isn't something that we can hold in our hands, but it's real nonetheless. A lost world thinks that our faith is foolish, but that doesn't detract from its power. The evidence is clear. He died, they buried him, and he is alive today. The angel spoke words of victory. He is risen. I wasn't looking for that, but yes, he is risen indeed. The evidence is clear. His words, he is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. They came to make final preparations for his burial, and the angel proclaimed words that have resounded throughout the ages. Jesus is no longer in the tomb. He rose victorious over the death and the grave. There is nothing that could hold him there. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful for a risen Savior. It's hard to believe that it's been 10 years since I went to Israel, but 10 years ago, I went to Israel and I saw the empty tomb. He's not there. Death couldn't hold our Lord. We have hope in life beyond the grave because of his glorious resurrection. He wasn't the first to rise from the dead. Just a few weeks before, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. There were other saints who were walking around the streets of Jerusalem that morning, according to Matthew 27. But he is the only one who has been raised from the dead forever, never to die again. There's hope in these words of victory. Death is no longer, it has no longer a hold on the children of God. As believers, we don't have to fear death. I may go to the grave, but praise God, that won't be the end. We will be resurrected with new glorified bodies. But the angel didn't stop there. He spoke words of celebration. Go, tell his disciples and Peter. He's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you, trembling because they were afraid. They were so afraid. They were bewildered, and the women went out and fled the tomb and said nothing to anyone. Do you see a change of heart in the women? They came with little hope, but they left with the promise that Jesus lives. They had received the news that Jesus had risen. The term trembling speaks of physical shaking caused by great grief. Bewildered is the Greek word for ecstasy. Awestruck by the news that they had just received, they immediately went to find the disciples. And they said nothing else to anyone. Nobody on the way they spoke to. They wanted the disciples to be the first to hear the news. That they were afraid stems from not from a threat of being harmed, but from a sense of bewilderment and wonder. Matthew explains that their fear was mingled with exceeding joy at the realization that Jesus was alive. Much of what we hear today brings little comfort. Man, do I hate reading the news. It is just a discouragement. There's almost nothing positive in the news. We are bombarded with the news of death, of destruction, of despair, of negativity. But for the redeemed, we can rejoice in the good news that our Savior lives. The women were given the promise of seeing Jesus again in Galilee, and no doubt their hearts were filled with joy at the promise of seeing Jesus again. We have never seen our Lord, but one day we will. We are promised that Jesus will return. He will return for the church. He will one day step onto the clouds and call out for us. And what rejoicing there will be when we get to look upon his face. I gotta say, that ought to bring some hope to our hearts. Life is filled with difficulty and uncertainty, but we have the hope of a brighter day ahead. And I want to encourage you to rejoice in your Savior's love and provisions today. We have considered the triumph of the gospel. The grave could not hold our Lord because he lives, and we have hope in the resurrection and the eternal life. And I am looking forward to the day when he calls for the church and the dead in Christ will rise. The death of the Lord Jesus at Calvary is absolutely central to the gospel. It has to be central to the gospel. Yet without the resurrection, the cross would be meaningless. There would be no hope of salvation from sin. Paul told the Corinthians, he wrote these words, "If Christ had not been raised, then our preaching was in vain. Your faith also is in vain. And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins. But because he has risen, believers have hope both for this life and for the life to come." The church meets on Sunday, not Friday, because Easter stands as a validation of Good Friday. The resurrection, and by the resurrection, God vindicated the work of his Son on the cross, affirming for all time the divine justice has been fully satisfied, all because of Jesus' sacrifice. The gospel does not merely promise believers that their sins have been forgiven. It confirms that we have been made right with God, and that we will one day have a glorified, receive a glorified resurrection and a new body in which we will dwell forever in his presence. That promise is found in the historic reality of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which demonstrates his power over death, so that we can, without doubt, glory in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus this morning. For he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.